Good. So, I apologise for my voice, but it's good news. We won. And to the football yesterday, that was amazing. That was believe in miracles. Yes, Newcastle won. Woo! Today we're going to talk about amazing healing. Jesus, the amazing healer. So last week we looked at Jesus and said he was worth listening to. It was not just words, but he backed it up with what he said with action. So this week I want to look a little bit to see why people were amazed at his healing and other miracles that Jesus performed. So we're going to look at this morning what he did, why he did it, what we can learn, and finally think about how we can respond. And as I said at the end, we're going to have some communion and a time just to reflect back. I've got some scripture verses that we're going to give out so you can look at them and use them to help reflect on what Jesus is saying and pray for healing. So we're going to end up with the opportunity to pray for each other for healing. So we started the series last week, and one of our aims, we said, was to look at Jesus and to reveal some of the character of God. So I'm going to start off by reading a passage that was familiar, because we read it last week. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before."
Great, thank you. I've been reading the Bible for many, many years. The first question that came to my mind was, whose house was he in? Any ideas? Whose house did he dig a hole through? And I asked a couple of people in this household, and we came up with lots of good answers. N.T. Wright, a scholar, said, he was at home. It was his house. So before anybody gets any ideas, no digging holes, no bringing your mates around and digging holes in my roof. So Jesus was at home. He'd been teaching, been around teaching, and he'd arrived home. Next week we're going to look at teaching. Jesus, the amazing teacher, and Sam Stevenson from Hexham is going to come and do help us next week. So he's going to look at what the teacher is. But these men four men brought this paralyzed man to Jesus' home and dug a hole in his roof. And Jesus sees the friend's faith. And then he says something really remarkable. "Your sins are forgiven." I suppose, what does that mean? Why is that remarkable? Well, for the people who are around, the teachers of the law that it talks about, they were thinking what their scripture said back then. And they were saying, well, there's very strict rules and guidance around who can forgive. This means you would have to go to the temple, you'd have to go to the priest, and the priest would act as an intercessor between himself and God, because only God can forgive sins. So it was remarkable that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. What was he saying about himself? He was revealing that he himself was the Son of God, that he was God. And when he said, your sins are forgiven, what did he mean by that? He meant that the broken relationship with the Creator was being restored. The priests were outraged at Jesus. They were really, I mean, you can imagine, can't you? You know, how they, at that period of time, how offended they would be. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he wanted them to know that he had authority. And in order to let them know that he had the authority, he told the man to get up and walk. And he did. Actually, there are 35 miracles of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. So what can we learn from those? Well, we can learn that healing points to the identity of Jesus. It demonstrates that God is with him, that he has power to heal broken relationships between God and man. And the Bible describes that as sin. We see that through Jesus he has compassion and mercy. By performing miracles with people at the edge of society, with blind beggars, lepers, in his healing he's revealing God's heart to the human race. And he's also looking to the future. The healing of the sick points to forward to a time when there will be no more illness. He raised people from the dead, which points forward again to the fact that Jesus overcomes death. So the question, one of the questions might be, is do you need to have faith to be healed? The Bible shows us a lot to say about this. The Bible tells us people experience healing, those with lots of faith and those with little faith. So, for example, a person with no faith, in John 5:6-9, it says there was a sick man, he was by a pool, he was paralysed, crippled, and Jesus was walking past. Now, if he had faith in Jesus, he would say, well, I want to be healed. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, well, can you lift me up and take me to the water? Because when it's stirred, people can be healed. But didn't have faith in Jesus. But even at that point, Jesus said, you're healed. And he healed the man by the pool. And then there's people with lots of faith. Matthew 9:21 talks about a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and she thought, if I can just touch the robe of Jesus, then I'll be healed. And as she did so, Jesus said, the power of healing has gone out. And Jesus felt that power go. So she had a lot of faith in Jesus. We can also see that miracles don't always produce faith. In Luke 17:11-19, it talks about 10 lepers who were healed, but only 5 of them came back and said, I believe in you, recognise you, the healing came from you, Jesus. So what do miracles mean for us today? The main point of miracles, miracles of healing and forgiveness, is a sign to those who are prepared to think about them. They challenge us with the question, who is Jesus? What is the character of his kingdom? And how we understand the future? So the biggest challenge for us is to give a verdict on who he is. And the question we should be asking ourselves is, how do we respond to miracles?